God's word to John chapter 3 verse 1 to 21. Some of the probably the most quoted and most famous verses of scripture. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus. "And do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you do not accept our testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if you speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Amen. I encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at this passage. As I said this morning, we're beginning a short summer series which I've called Facebook Faith. It used to be whenever we wanted to know something that we watched the news or we read a book or we turned to an encyclopedia. And this meant we had a fair amount of confidence in where our information was coming from. For example, when a news report was on the BBC, generally it was trusted because of the BBC's hard-earned reputation for fairness and factual accuracy. We knew if we were reading the Financial Times, and I'm sure you're all going out in the morning to buy your copy of the Financial Times, that we were reading a newspaper that had a reputation for employing respected journalists. Whereas other newspapers didn't always have that same reputation. Sometimes a good headline was better than a good story. The one about your man that ate the hamster, Freddie, whatever you call him, ate my hamster, being a good one in point. Likewise, the Encyclopedia Britannica was a trusted place to go for homework research, while some magazines and other periodicals didn't always carry that same respect and authority. But today things have changed. We no longer go to these long trusted sources for information. Today we turn to the internet. And there's nothing wrong with that. The internet is full of well-researched, thoughtful articles and opinions. But let's be honest, it's also full of rubbish. And the problem is that we haven't really learned to recognize a reputable source on the internet from a discredited one. Or either maybe we've just lost that sense of discernment altogether. We've allowed ourselves to get to the point where we see something on the internet, particularly on Facebook or other social media sites, and we assume that it must be true. We've given these sites the same level of trust, or almost the same level of trust, as the BBC or ITV. And it's not only true for our news, but also for what we believe. We accept what we see and assume that it is right. We read verses of scripture posted on places like Facebook, often out of context, and assume that what we're being told is right. And so that's why I've decided to spend this summer looking at some of the most popular verses of scripture and explore what they mean. And you'll be glad to know that my hypocrisy is as strong as ever, because I've taken the list of most popular verses just simply from a Google search, and I've no idea how well researched it was at all. But this morning we're beginning with those famous words, "You must be born again." Who was Jesus talking to? Well, Jesus said this in the middle of the story between Jesus and Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee and a member of the Jewish ruling council. And the story is told immediately after John tells the story of how Jesus cleared the temple at Passover. He was horrified to find a marketplace where a price was being put on gaining access to God. Where a price has been put on access to God. And while no one appears to have tried to stop Jesus from turning over the tables and throwing out all the animals, they did ask him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" In John chapter 2, verse 18. Nicodemus, who was bound to have been in the temple that day when Jesus cleared it, he came by night and he said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." John 3, verse 2. And so Nicodemus is at least one step ahead of those who questioned Jesus in the temple. They wanted to know his authority. Nicodemus says, "Look, we know that you come from God." And while he came at night, probably so that he wouldn't be seen, still Nicodemus came to Jesus, and that is commendable. He wanted to know more. He wanted to align himself with Jesus in some way. And even by the time we get to John chapter 19, Nicodemus is still wanting to identify himself with Jesus as he and Joseph of Arimathea take Jesus' body down off the cross and bury it. And so there is much to commend Nicodemus for. And yet Jesus, for the only recorded time in Scripture, said, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." John 3, verse 3. For Nicodemus only seems to be getting more confused. And who can blame him? In verse 4, he said, "How can someone be born when they are old? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus goes on to explain to Nicodemus by saying that to enter the kingdom of heaven, Nicodemus needs to be born both of water and of spirit. He must have a human birth. He must have a mother. But also he needs a spiritual birth from God. And still, Nicodemus is confused. And so in some of the most famous words we have in Scripture, we read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Jesus has been trying to explain to Nicodemus that the next step he must take is to believe that he, that Jesus, is the source of this new birth he's been talking about. And that that new birth is actually the eternal life that God has promised, and that it is offered through Jesus Christ, through his life, his death, and his resurrection. But why did Jesus only say this to Nicodemus? I find it striking that Nicodemus is the only person that Jesus said this to. Here we have a religious man, a faithful man, a godly man even. And he is the one that Jesus said he must be born again. In John chapter 4, the very next chapter in John's story, Jesus met the woman at the well. Now, she was a sinful woman. She was a scorned and rejected woman, a woman of reputation. And it wasn't a good reputation. A woman in an immoral relationship. And yet Jesus approached her for a drink and simply said to her, "You know, if you knew who I was, you would have asked me for a drink, because I would have given you living water." Living water was flowing water used for ritual cleansing and purification. Jesus appears to be treating these two people in different ways. And yet, somehow, we have arrived at a place where we tell people, like the woman at the well, that they need to be born again. And we say very little to good, godly, church-going folk like ourselves. What's going on? Well, you know, the woman at the well, she had absolutely no expectation of heaven. She only knew what it was to be ostracized and rejected. She had no reason to expect any acceptance from God. Don't forget, she was also a Samaritan woman. She wasn't Jewish. And Jesus, in his dealing with her, was showing his acceptance through the cleansing that he was offering her. Nicodemus, on the other hand, Nicodemus had every reason to expect acceptance. He wasn't just a Jew, he was a Jewish leader, a Pharisee. He ruthlessly pursued the law. And we have attached actually almost a term of derogatory to the name Pharisee. We look on it and we look down our nose. The Pharisees were incredibly godly people. Nicodemus undoubtedly loved God. And yet something was missing. He would still have to trust in Christ. And so what does this mean for us? Folks, our church is full of people who come here week in and week out. And I am certain that many of us have an expectation that we will be accepted by God. I don't know of anyone in our congregation who has the reputation of the woman at the well. Overall, we have led good lives. And so Jesus is saying to us, not to the people out there who don't come to church, who don't really have any expectation that they'll be accepted by God because they don't really know who God is or even necessarily believe God is there. Who maybe do have the reputation the woman at the well had. He's not saying to them, he's saying to us, you must be born again. You see, we cannot allow ourselves to trust in who we are. We can't trust the fact that we might be a minister or Presbyterian, or as I was saying in Kilray today, orange men or churchgoers or good whatever. It doesn't really matter what the label is. We must be born of water and of spirit. We must trust in Christ for the forgiveness of sins and only in Christ. Not in our own goodness or the church we've been born into. You see, we have the incredible privilege of being born into the Reformed Church. Just as Nicodemus had the privilege of being born into the nation of Israel. Now, Nicodemus didn't choose this, just as we didn't choose to be born into the Presbyterian Church or the Reformed tradition. But this is an act of God's grace that gives us an incredibly privileged position because we have been taught and we know that we must be born of water and of spirit. That's one of the key cornerstones of what we believe. And when Jesus said you must be born again, it was not to a world who did not know the ways of God. It was to a privileged, godly man. And so it is to privileged, godly people this morning. It's to us that Jesus also says you must be born again. And my plea this morning is that we would not throw away this privilege. It's also the sense that what Jesus is telling Nicodemus is that this birth from above is the domain of God. Nicodemus was right to ask how someone can be born again when they were old. He was right to be confused because what he's been taught is that he cannot do this. He cannot himself be born again. Jesus very intentionally uses a word that causes confusion. He uses a word that at one and the same time means both born again and born from above. It's exactly the same word. No change whatsoever. And so what Nicodemus has been told is that it's only through the work of the Father that this new birth can come about. And if we think back to John's opening chapter when he said, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Notice there, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Nicodemus is being told that even he, with all of his privilege, all of his heritage, all of his religion and godliness, still he must believe that it is only through God and not through his own efforts or the fact that he belongs to the right church that he can see the kingdom of heaven that he so longed for. Jesus said, you must be born again. Of that there is no doubt. But he didn't say it to the woman at the well. He said it to Nicodemus. to a man who had expectations that he would see the kingdom of God. Do we have those same expectations? Are we longing to see God's rule established and to be part of that glorious kingdom? I'm hoping the answer is yes. And that is good. But hear Jesus very clearly. If we want those expectations to be fulfilled, then we must be born again. We must trust in Christ. We must be adopted by Christ. We must not trust in who we are or what we are. Whether it's minister, Presbyterian, Baptist, Methodist, Orangeman, religious, good, kind, or anything else. We must be born again. Trusting wholly in Christ alone.